Bacteria on food is usually considered dangerous, yet the most delicious of foods like cheese, pickles, bread and even chocolate are all products of fermentation by microorganisms, including bacteria. Fermented foods are considered good for us, but one drawback is that they have this distinctive smell, and let's face it, some are more pungent than others. And natto, or Japanese fermented soybeans, would have to be one of the smelliest. Despite its aroma, though, natto and other traditional fermented foods are gaining more fans in this country. Masako Fukui, who grew up with natto, investigates.
I have a confession to make. I've inflicted natto on unsuspecting friends as a kind of test of culinary courage. Eat this without gagging. But I was surprised recently to find out from Kyoko Anegawa, Japanese grocery store owner in Sydney for the past 46 years, that natto is being reinvented and popularized as a health food.
Natto is just a fermented soybean.
Yeah. And how do Japanese people eat it?
Well, on top of the hot rice, or you can put on top of the tofu.
What does it smell like?
Dirty smell.
Like socks?
I never thought about that. Very hard to describe.
And the texture is very
slippery.
Unusual.
Yes, very slippery. Mm.
And stringy and...
Yeah, well, don't say that. That destroys the image of the natto.
But is it getting more popular now?
It is. It is very much so.
Why do you think that is?
I think people just start off with supposed to be very good for your health. That's where they start. But when you get used to with the taste, it seems everyone start to enjoy. Mm-hmm.
Mm. So it's a taste that you get used to.
That's right. You need to. Mm.
This quality of creating strong flavors that often are scary to people who are not accustomed to it is certainly not limited to natto.
Sandor Katz lives in Tennessee and calls himself a fermentation revivalist. He's written a number of books on this topic. His latest is The Art of Fermentation.
You know, we do have some amount of hardwired programming that causes us to reject certain kinds of flavors and aromas, and that's how we filter among the various things we might put in our mouths. But certain foods sort of, you know, work this edge that we might initially experience some revulsion from them, but then we start to acquire a taste for these foods. You know, I'll go sometimes and splurge, you know, a ridiculous amount of money on a chunk of cheese that gets me really excited. And it turns out some people don't even want to be in the same room as that and would never for a moment think about putting it in their mouths. All around the world, there are great examples of foods that are real cultural insider foods.
And certainly natto is an acquired taste for Japanese cultural outsiders. Natto is made by adding bacteria called Bacillus subtilis to cooked soybeans, then allowing them to ferment for about half a day in a warm place. Natto is a popular filling in sushi rolls, but mostly it's eaten at breakfast, on top of hot steamed rice. Usually natto is mixed with egg yolk, chopped shallots, a dash of soy sauce, and some dried bonito shavings. The taste is quite neutral, believe it or not, but what puts most people off is that pungent ammonia smell and that stringy texture that leaves a thick coating inside your mouth. It's a bit like chewing mucus, but this mucilaginous coating is what's good for you, according to Sandor Katz.
In this coating are some really extraordinary compounds, which have been demonstrated to help to regulate blood clotting and also to remove plaque accumulations from the interior of blood vessels.
So what happens to food when it's fermented?
Fermentation pre-digests foods. One of the reasons why soybeans were embraced as they were by the vegetarian subcultures in the West is that they are the plant source food with the most concentrated protein. The problem is that our human digestive systems are not equipped to extract the protein from an unprocessed soybean. Asian cultures that pioneered soy agriculture developed all of these different means of fermenting them. Soy sauce, miso, tempeh, what they all have in common is that protein from the soybean gets pre-digested into amino acids, which are much easier for our bodies to assimilate.
What are the other ways that fermentation allows food to transform that's good for us?
Well, fermentation can actually augment the nutrients in food. So most fermented foods have higher levels of B vitamins than the raw food that you begin with, as well as unique micronutrients that are only beginning to be analyzed. So, for instance, sauerkraut and other forms of fermented vegetables contain compounds called isothiocyanates that are regarded as potent anti-carcinogenic compounds. Then there's detoxification, where fermentation can remove certain toxins from foods, like in the case of cyanide, which is removed during the fermentation of cassava roots. And then finally, there's the live culture benefit. Bacteria perform a lot of really critical physiological functions on our behalf. Biologists who count the cells in our bodies have come to the startling conclusion that the cells that we each possess that reflect our own unique individual DNA are outnumbered 10 to 1 by bacteria that we are host to. And we're learning more and more about how bacteria in our guts modulate different physiological systems, and in particular, our immune responses. Just this year, there was some research that showed that when you have an infection in your lung and your white blood cells mobilize to ward off that infection, that response is actually mediated by gut bacteria. So bacteria are incredibly important to us, and it's kind of dangerous to designate certain of them as bad and certain of them as good. A cutting-edge idea in the world of microbiology is that there is one super species of bacteria, and they have available to them lots of different genetics depending upon environmental conditions and what kind of metabolism they need to perform.
The idea that bacteria are genetically fluid means maintaining a balance of good and bad bacteria is not as simple as taking antibiotics and probiotic supplements. So Sandor Katz advocates eating a diversity of bacteria through naturally fermented foods, and this has kept him healthy despite being HIV positive for 2 decades.
I would say that I don't have any hard evidence that fermented foods are what are keeping me so healthy. I mean, I also take antiretroviral drugs. Most people who take the kinds of drugs that I take have digestive problems as a result of them. You know, I've just never had any digestive problems. I walk a fine line because I personally am very suspicious of miracle claims made on behalf of particular foods. I will say that for anybody, these live culture foods have the potential to improve your overall digestion, your body's ability to assimilate nutrients, and your overall immune functioning.
You're a fermentation revivalist, so what are you trying to revive?
Most of us would maybe find it scary to think about cultivating bacteria in their kitchens. How do I know, the sauerkraut in my kitchen isn't harboring some killer bacteria that's going to kill my family? So this is just a fear that is widespread as a result of people, becoming severed from these food traditions. So, I mean, my main interest is to empower people with the skills to take up this important mode of food transformation. And, it's really part of a bigger process of reclaiming our food. It has not served us well to become dependent upon mass-produced food. And an important part of that process is putting aside the misguided mindset that bacteria are all our enemies.
That's fermentation revivalist and author of The Art of Fermentation, Sandor Katz, speaking from Tennessee to Masako Fukui. And if you're game, why not try Sandor's recipe for sweet potato fly? What's that, you ask? Well, you can check it out. It's on our website, as well as loads more information on fermented foods and health.